A bill that would require Wisconsin voters to show a photo ID at the polls and would change other aspects of election law in the state will get a public hearing at the state capitol this morning. We will hear from two guests with differing viewpoints on whether a photo ID bill is needed in Wisconsin during this hour's Big Question Debate. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April the 27th. And as always, we will let you vote on this idea as well. And we will welcome your questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. As we debate today's big question, do we need a voter ID bill in Wisconsin? Donald Pridemore is a Republican state representative from Erin. He is a sponsor of the assembly legislation that is getting a public hearing today, and he's also the author of another voter ID bill that includes some other changes. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks for joining us. We also have with us Jay Heck, who is the executive director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, and he is against this photo ID effort. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Don. Great to be with you.
I'm glad you are both here. Let me start with you, Representative Pridemore. First, just explain to us the key aspects of just the photo ID part of this legislation. How does this change how we vote in Wisconsin?
Well, you will be required to show a photo ID, a government, state government issued or a passport, in order to vote, plain and simple. If you do not have a photo ID with your correct address on it, you will still be able to vote on election day, but you will have to be required to fill out a provisional ballot and then either register and or provide that information within either the 1 day if you just forgot it or within 3 days if you still need to get it.
Mm-hmm. And college students could not use their university IDs, is that right?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of student IDs do not have all the required information on it, including their correct address. So student ID, we are going to, through the DOT department, offer state ID cards or driver's licenses to those students who would require them. For other reasons other than just voting, but that would be the primary emphasis. DOT does have 12 mobile units that they use around the state to provide service like this for rural communities, and they could be used on college's campuses as well.
And as for those who perhaps are elderly and homebound and maybe don't have a driver's license or low income, any effort to make sure that they are able to get a government-issued photo ID?
Well, the same applies there as well. Most elderly people may have given up, driving privileges. That doesn't mean they never had a driver's license in the past or would not be able to get an ID card in place of a driver's license if they no longer want to drive. So the process is there. The availability is still there. If you're indigent, you will be able to get one free of charge.
All right. So thanks for the basics there. Now, Representative Pridemore, why do we need to do this?
Well, Wisconsin has some of the most liberal voting laws in the entire nation. And I've been a poll observer for every election, every fall election since 2004. I've observed various types of what I consider potential fraudulent voting. I've networked with other poll observers and taken testimony at a seven-hour public hearing several weeks ago on the election committee, and we heard from poll observers and poll workers and clerks, and they all report situations where potential voter fraud has occurred, and it's very hard to bring those cases to court. The evidence, once the ballot reaches the box to be counted, it's really too late to effectively do anything about it. And there are no cameras or anything allowed in the voting area as well. And, you know, with the vouching process that goes on, with people assisting other voters to various degrees, pointing out who they should vote with little stickers, I've even observed what I would consider voter fraud in Hartford itself, where my kids go to school and where a lot of my friends vote. A little post-it note was put on a nursing home absentee ballot with directions on how to vote for a certain candidate.
Yeah. You know, and I promise, Jay Heck, I'm going to get you in on this, but let me follow up one more time with Representative Pridemore, that those examples of, suspicious or strange voting examples that you just brought up, a photo ID bill doesn't stop any of that from happening, does it?
Well, sure it does. If you no longer can vouch for somebody when they go to the polls to vote, they have to have their own photo ID with proof of residency. So if you can't vouch for somebody, then there's no opportunity there to vouch incorrectly for somebody who you may or may not know, or may not know that well, or may have just met before.
Yeah. All right, let's get Jay Heck of Common Cause, Wisconsin. What's the big deal here? We just have to show a photo ID before we vote.
Well, the big deal is that Wisconsin has traditionally been number one or two, usually two, second in the country in voter turnout. That's something I think most Wisconsinites take a great deal of pride at. We have vigorous participation in our elections. The Supreme Court election that occurred just 22 days ago was a vivid example of democracy, people pouring out, double the normal turnout for a spring election. We didn't have voter photo ID in place. We had many people voting. It was a close election. If there are reports of voter fraud or people voting who shouldn't have been voting, I haven't heard of any. I haven't seen any in the press. I think this is a pent-up, long-standing action that a number of people in the Wisconsin legislature have wanted to go after for some time because they just think it's simply too simple for people to vote. And it seems, even though there are anecdotal expressions of, you know, possible irregularity, there has never been, at least in my quarter of a century living and voting in Wisconsin, any widespread or even minimal vote fraud that could be uncovered on a systemic basis. And so what we have here, I think, is really more akin to trying to keep certain segments of the voting population from turning out in the numbers that they currently do. And just to put this in some context, there are currently, of the 50 states in the nation, 24 that have some sort of identification necessary to show at the polls. And of those 24, only 8 require a photo ID. So 26 states require nothing when you go to the polls. I'm not sure what Wisconsin has done to deserve this, but the piece of legislation that Don is talking about makes it more difficult to in terms of the type of ID that you need to show in Wisconsin than any other state in the country. Any other state, it would be more difficult or more onerous and burdensome in terms of the ID that you must produce to vote at the polls in Wisconsin than it is in southern states like Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, or even Indiana, which currently has the country's most restrictive voter photo ID in the nation. This goes beyond what Indiana does in that it will not allow students, university students, to be able to use a state-issued identification for the purposes of saying, I am who I am, and I'm here to vote and exercise my franchise. That won't be permitted. And so I just find it a huge overreaction to a problem that is not documented, that really isn't anything that's that has been a problem in Wisconsin. There's a significant fiscal cost to this. It'll cost almost $5 million to implement this program at a time when the state is suffering from huge budget deficits and cuts in other vital programs. I just think all across the board, this is not really intended to go after the so-called fraud, because as you mentioned, Joy, if someone wants to commit fraud, it could still be done. They could still manufacture a photo ID or have it manufactured with their face on it and could conceivably get away with it. But that just doesn't happen very often, but it could still be done. And secondly, I think this is really more accurately described as an attempt to go after some of the voting age populations and demographics that do not turn out in the numbers for Don's political party that he would like.
Okay.
And, you know, I think on every count, this is misguided. It's unneeded, and you know, I think it ought to be. It ought to be examined further, and we ought to look at other ways if there's real concern about this.
There are the opening arguments from both of our guests. We will continue to talk about this voter ID legislation and whether or not it is needed in Wisconsin with Jay Heck, who says no, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, and State Representative Donald Pridemore, who says yes, it is. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There will be a public hearing today on Assembly Bill 7, which would require this voter ID, require Wisconsin voters to show a photo ID at the polls. Representative Pridemore is a sponsor of that legislation. He's also circulating a new bill, which would include a photo ID and some other changes to election law. We'll try to get into some of those as well. Checking the weather forecast for today, rainy and snowy in the northwest. There's actually a winter weather advisory posted for northwest Wisconsin. Some light rain possible elsewhere. Highs today from the low 40s in the north to the mid-50s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 this morning, I'll be welcoming in the author of the new book, Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. We'll talk about our love-hate relationship with plastics coming up after 8 o'clock. This is today's big question, and we are debating whether or not Wisconsin needs a photo ID bill. Should we have to present a photo ID, a government-issued photo ID, at the polls before we vote? The State Assembly is holding a public hearing today on a bill that would require just that, and we have two guests with us who have different viewpoints on the issue. And we welcome your input as well. You can ask some questions or present points that you would like our guests to debate during the debate portion. And at the end of the hour, we will allow you to sound off on the issue. Yes, no, and why. Representative Pridemore, we just heard Jay Heck say that, in essence, this is an answer to a problem that really doesn't exist. And that he thinks it's really an effort to suppress the vote, especially the voters, first-time voters, young voters, even elderly voters who often vote Democratic. Is that what's going on here, really?
Well, no, not at all. Jay did mention the fact that there hasn't been any substantiated reports. Well, in fact, there has. Even in past, in the city of Milwaukee in particular, there was a police report filed. There was a task force. The Milwaukee Police Department was involved in election fraud issues back several years ago when Ann Hegarty was chief of police. And she formed that task force, and there was a report generated. Unfortunately, that report wasn't completed until the next administration took over, and they disavowed the fact that that task force was set up, and they did not acknowledge the result of that report. But that report does exist. It is out there, and it documents many cases of fraud that did occur just in the city of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Jay Heck?
Well, again, these are allegations. Was there ever a grand jury indictment? Were there ever, was anybody ever brought to trial? You know, I mean, there's lots of allegations of voter fraud that have occurred. The Government Accountability Board said after the 2008 election, there were about 20 cases of fraud after an election in which, you know, nearly 3 million people cast their votes in the state of Wisconsin. Those were primarily people who were convicted felons who weren't aware of the fact that they're not allowed to vote. So, you know, this idea that there's, you know, that we should go from a state that where it's relatively simple and easy to cast a vote with high voter participation to become the most restrictive and most burdensome state in the country because of some allegations that were never brought to trial seems to me to be a huge overreaction. And this will inconvenience not just young people and elderly people. And by the way, 25% of elderly people in Wisconsin don't have driver's licenses. This will inconvenience people like myself and middle-aged people who've lived in Wisconsin for years, who regularly go to the polls on election day. They know the people at the polling place. And now, if I don't have my driver's license in my wallet because I can't find my wallet that day, then people who know me at the polls will say, sorry, you can only cast a provisional vote. And then I'll have to find my wallet and my driver's license and get down to the Board of Elections by that Friday, or my vote won't count. This is gonna anger many, many people when they find out exactly what's contained in this bill, and it's just very unnecessary in my view.
Yeah, does Wisconsin really need to be this restrictive, Representative Pridemore?
Well, you know, Jay brings up sensational arguments. The level at which we are requiring identification is no higher than you going to the public library and then wanting a library card, or going to the bank and wanting credit, or getting a checking account, or any of these common every day-to-day activities that people engage in. And this is just going to be another one of those relatively easy processes to go through.
Yeah. And Jay Heck, what about that? We need a photo ID for all sorts of stuff.
Well, I have a constitutional right to vote. I don't have a constitutional right to take a library book out. And I think when you are infringing on constitutional rights, which people have fought battles for and wars for to defend, because you don't necessarily like the way the voters are voting, I think is a dangerous thing. And the thing I don't understand, I would like to ask Don, is why of all the 50 states do you choose to make Wisconsin the most difficult and the most restrictive in terms of the IDs that have to be shown? You know, other states, North Carolina, the Republicans there, for instance, just said, of course, state voter student IDs should be permitted. Georgia and Indiana, the two most restrictive states in the country right now, allow state-issued student IDs to be used. There's no massive or even incidental vote fraud by college students in those states. What have we done in Wisconsin to deserve this kind of treatment? I just don't really understand it.
Representative Pridemore?
Well, we can see just by the last Supreme Court election how close they can be. If we're talking about less than 1% difference in the vote count. So if we have that much voter fraud, we're talking about the ability of people who vote fraudulently to overturn an election.
But where's the voter fraud?
And, well, look at the 10,000 undervotes that occurred in Madison. Can you explain that anomaly?
And because a lot of people just decided to vote for the Supreme Court election.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, all the people that have been bused here or flew here from out of state to protest in Madison, how many of those people decided, well, maybe because Wisconsin has such liberal voting laws, maybe we should try to vote ourselves as long as we're here.
So are you alleging that people were flown in? Are you alleging that people were flown into Madison to vote in the Supreme Court election?
I'm saying that this activity could very easily occur just based upon our very liberal laws the way they currently are on the books.
I know there's lots to talk about here, but I have callers that have been waiting to get in on this. So let me go to Helene in West Bend. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, please.
My question is for Pridemore. How does he intend to address a situation where an elderly person who is homebound and has had to go into rehab has voted in every election? And when she went to rehab, there were people there who were taking votes. As I was going to bring in her absentee ballot the next day, she voted there. And when this last election came up, she was disenfranchised because she wasn't considered registered in her own district anymore. She cannot vote. She's never had a photo ID in her life. She has never driven. It's not even a matter of being able to afford it. She cannot go to the motor vehicle department to get her picture taken.
Yeah, what about a situation like that, Representative Pridemore?
Well, I couldn't hear the entire question.
Well, she a homebound elderly person who's never had a driver's license and really can't get to the DMV to get a picture taken.
Well, I'm assuming she has to request an absentee ballot. She has to do that in person already. At the same time she requests an absentee ballot, she could make sure that her registration is in order. And if it's not, then she'd have plenty of time in order to also get to a DMV office and get an ID card.
But,
perhaps the same day.
Very briefly, Jay Heck, do you see a problem with this?
Well, yes, because 25% of Wisconsin senior citizens don't have driver's licenses, and now will have to, you know, somehow get to the DMV, even if they can't walk, to get a photo ID issued by the DOT. And by the way, they are free, but only if you request that they be free. So I think most people will be under the impression that they would have to pay for it. So that's not fair. And the thing is, every other state allows for other forms of ID. In Wisconsin, Don's legislation, a birth certificate won't be acceptable.
I got to jump in because we have news from National Public Radio coming up next, and then we will continue talking with Jay Heck and Representative Donald Pridemore after the news. The State Assembly holds a hearing today on a bill that would require voters to present a government-issued photo ID at the polls. And we are debating that effort in today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Wednesday, April the 27th. We wonder if this is a necessary step to eliminate the potential of voter fraud, or if this is nothing more than an effort to suppress voters. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have with us Donald Pridemore, a Republican state representative from Erin, who is a sponsor of the assembly legislation that will receive a public hearing today. He's also drafting his own photo ID legislation. We'll talk just a bit about the differences here. Also, Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, is with us. Representative Pridemore, before we move on, you're a sponsor of the legislation that gets the public hearing today, Assembly Bill 7, but author of another voter or photo ID bill. Why are you doing a different bill?
Well, it's not really a different bill. It's to complement what's already out there. We had a number of people working on this. It is a very comprehensive plan and a bill, well over 100 pages. We wanted to make sure that we tried to accommodate everybody. There was a public hearing several weeks ago where we took testimony for 7 hours. Had very good input from all sectors of the state. So we took that testimony as well as other experiences along the way, and we put together this list of ideas, is what I call it. But I believe what we'll come up with at the end, the AB 7, will be amended to include some of these ideas in my portion of the bill, which is LRB 1723.
All right. What, for example, what might be added? What would you want to be added to Assembly Bill 7 from your legislation?
Well, two things. One, we are going to allow a private 501c3 organization to form in order to collect donations to pay for people who will claim to be indigent and can't pay for their own driver's license, so the taxpayers hopefully will not have to cover that cost. Right now it just gets buried in the transportation budget, and there's no real way to determine what that number is. The second provision that I included in my legislation would require a task force to be formed at the end of the recall process. We hope to use the recall process as a test bed for photo ID and also the Parisi election that will be coming up in Madison as a soft implementation of photo ID, to use this experience then to perhaps make some changes to the legislation in order to make it better for the state. And second of all, the task force would be engaged to determine what the next generation of voting systems will be. I do have some experience in the prior life of being an electronics design engineer to know a lot about voting machines in particular. And the voting machines we use in Wisconsin right now are 20, 30, 40 years old, are in dire need of an update and more secure counting and communications abilities in order to get the count accurate and correctly sent very, very quickly, very fast to the county level.
All right. Let me take another call from Amanda in Oshkosh. Hello, Amanda.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if your guest could speak to how this would affect absentee ballots. I guess I'm mostly concerned that college students who don't always turn out to the polls would be even more or even less likely if this affects their absentee ballots. Another thing is, when I go to the bank to open a banking account, I do need to show up my ID, but after that, I don't need to. Again, with the library card, when I go to open an account, and just like when I register to vote, I could show a voter or an ID card, but every time that I go to vote seems a little bit too much. And also, it's just...
Well, I'm sorry, because we have limited time, Amanda and many callers. We've got 2 points already to touch on. Absentee ballots, according to my read here, the legislation that gets a public hearing today would require voters to give a reason for requesting an absentee ballot and presumably would have to show an ID before getting an absentee ballot, Representative Pridemore?
Well, that had been current law that there had to be a reason, but people have been abusing the privilege and, you know, deciding that maybe I don't want to stand in line on election day, so I'll just require an ask for an absentee ballot, even though I really don't need one. Now, that's subjective, of course. So, but what the process, the way the absentee process will change is that if you request an absentee ballot, assuming you are a qualified registered voter already, you can always request an absentee ballot. But if you don't use it or if that ballot is not returned, then you'll have to go down and register for an absentee ballot again, because we don't want people being put on the list to get absentee ballots automatically sent to them year after year without them using them. So that's a cost factor that's borne by the local clerk's budget. And there's been a lot of postage and envelopes that have been wasted because people request absentee ballots but then never use them.
Mm-hmm. Jay Heck, on absentee ballots?
Yeah, this is just another way to make it more difficult for people to vote, more inconvenient. You know, why you need to have a reason to cast an absentee ballot is a mystery to me. You should be able to do it because that's your choice to do it. And then, you know, to have to re-sign up every time you want to do this is burdensome. And then finally, absentee ballots, you need to include my understanding is you need to include a copy of a photo ID. And, of course, if you don't have one, if you don't have a state-issued voter ID, and by the way, a federal government ID is not acceptable unless it's a military ID, but a state-issued ID, if you don't have one, then you can't cast an absentee ballot. So this is another way to reduce the number of people who vote and make it more difficult and more burdensome. And again, I would ask, what has Wisconsin done to deserve this? You know, I don't know that we that we need to go down this road. There's no reason other than the fact that it's designed to make it more difficult for certain segments of the population to cast a vote.
Our next caller is Yetta in Nina. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm just wondering if longer hours or more locations for DMV offices will go along with this. I have a car, and that hasn't been an issue for me to get to the DMV, but I lost my driver's license last April, and it took a month of trying to find a DMV I could get to outside of my work hours before someone actually found my ID and mailed it back. Every ID or every DMV within an hour and a half of me was open either for limited hours during the day, once a week. Most of them were just a couple times a year, once a month. Even Madison didn't work because I coach softball after I'm done working, and there was no way I could get to a DMV during that time. And if this law had been in place then, I wouldn't have been able to vote in the April election.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if there's going to be something that addresses that end of things.
Is there going to be anything that addresses that in the bill, Donald Pridemore?
Yes, DOT did put out a fiscal note. They are expecting a surge once this is implemented into law, and the first several elections that occur after into law. So they do expect a higher degree of licenses issued, and we are making accommodations as well as increasing the budget in order to accommodate for that.
Mm-hmm. Jay Heck?
Sure. Yeah, it's going to be particularly burdensome for people who live in rural areas, is my understanding, that, you know, DMV offices are few, far between, hours are very limited. It's going to be obviously tough for people that live in larger populated areas. It's going to be an added cost to the taxpayers of this state who are already overburdened and facing budget cuts in many other ways. So, and I think part of this problem here is that the number of IDs, the type of ID that you must be required in Wisconsin, the most restrictive and burdensome in the country, is part of the problem. If, you know, at the very least, there ought to be other forms of ID allowed than simply the ones enumerated in this bill, which will, you know, make it just incredibly inconvenient for a lot of people to have to get a DOT-issued ID.
Representative Pridemore, why can't other forms of identification be used? Why must it be a state-issued ID?
Well, for one thing, security of the ID is very important. If the ID card is very easy to fabricate illegally, then what's the point? The second consideration is Wisconsin will now, after years of delay, begin to implement the real ID card. And this is a very highly secure government-issued federal law that Wisconsin now will put into place this year. So if Jay thinks that the current ID card is inconvenient, wait till the real ID goes into play, and the amount of inconvenience or insecurity that you know follows from that, you won't be able to board an aircraft, for instance, without a real ID card eventually. Mm-hmm. And that's because of Homeland Security issues and issues relative to what's been happening not only in the U.S. but around the world in terms of people hijacking aircraft, people involved with various international terrorist organizations. All that is a result of the Real ID Act, and that will be implemented in Wisconsin very shortly.
Jay?
I don't know why international terrorism should impact on my ability to vote in Wisconsin, but that's precisely the reason why there should be many other forms of ID that are acceptable, and precisely the reason why every other state, apparently other than Wisconsin, has made other options available. You know, in Alabama, you can use your hunting license and your gun permit to vote. You can use your Social Security card. This is in Alabama. Those things will not be allowed in Wisconsin. So there should be many other forms of ID that are permitted. And the larger point is this treats Wisconsin citizens as suspect when they go to the polls, rather than says, oh, okay, you are a Wisconsin citizen and you're going to cast your vote. What this suggests is that you are not who you say you are, and that you have to have a specified form of ID in order to prove you are who you say you are, even if everybody at the polling place knows who you are and have known you for years. You could possibly be disenfranchised if you don't have one of these specified forms of ID. And I think when citizens realize the real impact of this legislation, they are going to be up in arms about it, and they're going to be very, very mad that this ever saw the light of day in the state of Wisconsin.
Here's an email from Deb. My son is a college student. His driver's license has his home address on it. He lives in a different apartment every year on campus, and he votes when he's on campus. Would he have to get a new ID every time he moves? And wonders what how this is going to burden him in terms of hassle and finances. Representative Pridemore?
Well, this college student, most college students that I know, and I have two of them in my family, do not vote in local elections. Anybody who has an ID card from the state of Wisconsin or even from Minnesota can still vote president, vice president, if that's all they care to vote for. If they only have a state ID card, they can still vote for statewide elections. Ballots are set up to accommodate that, and so is our voting system. So. In this case, if the student knows his hometown and wants to vote for local elections in his hometown, then he requests an absentee ballot with his current driver's license, with his home address on it and his picture. So
yeah, but
I don't see a problem there at all.
Jay Heck?
It's a huge problem, and this is one of the worst things about this bill. Wisconsin will be the only state in the country where a state-issued ID for students will not be an acceptable form to vote at the polls. And, you know, here's the other problem. Students, you get in the habit of voting in your lifetime when you're young, when you're a student, when you're 18. That's when you develop habits that last for a lifetime, including your participation in democracy. So what we're doing here in Wisconsin is we're discouraging students from voting. We're saying, no, local elections, I guess, are not important for you. Go home to Minnesota. Go home to Nina. Go home somewhere else and vote. Your vote is not welcome in this particular place. A student with a driver's license in Nina trying to cast a vote in Madison or Milwaukee because that's where they go to school will be turned away. That makes absolutely no sense, and it just sets a terrible example for what we should be promoting in this country, which is greater participation in our civics and our government and our democracy, not less.
Yeah. Now, very briefly, there are other items in Assembly Bill 7 that's getting the public hearing today, and I believe in your legislation as well, Representative Pridemore, that would you would want to eliminate a straight party ticket voting. How come?
Let me just say one thing before I have a chance. The public hearing today is exactly that. It's a public hearing. Again, we are going to get input. I expect Jay Heck to be there as well and probably testify. We will get accounts of voter fraud. I've had students report to me that students brag about how many times they can vote on college campus because their ID cards are not sufficient to prove their residency and they're allowed to vote in as many dorms as they can claim they live in. So, but as far as the partisan election, that's correct. That is one of the provisions of the bill. I'm not sure if it will remain there when we get through the process of the public hearing or executive session. However, it's in there now, and it's in there because we want people to come to the voting booth having a reasonable knowledge of who they're voting for. Anybody can be a lifelong party member of either party and just push the lever and vote the party and not know anything about the candidates involved here. I think that's really a disparaging. We want people to make intelligent decisions when they vote and not just pull a lever for one particular party.
Yeah, and it would also move Wisconsin's primary to an earlier date, which is,
yeah,
I guess, required.
The reason for that is because of military and overseas ballots are often delayed in the mail for one reason or another. This additional 30 days then would give
plenty of time for that mail to arrive and be ballots are allowed and then returned in a timely fashion or to be counted in time on election day.
Yeah, and there are other changes too, but we don't have time to go into every single one of them. But Jay Heck, your thoughts on these other items as well?
Well, you know, I think the other items are, you know, things that we need to look into. We need to obviously comply with the military aspect of this and make sure that the votes get in time from overseas. So, you know, those aren't the problems. I mean, I've got some questions about why we need to eliminate straight party tickets. You know, that assumes that people are not capable of, you know, deciding how to vote, whether they want to vote straight party or not. And, you know, with regard to students not being smart enough or knowledgeable enough to vote for local candidates, I think that's very insulting. I mean, I think, you know, we shortchange students in this state by not trusting them to do the right thing. I have not heard of, you know, I've never seen a criminal charge or an indictment or investigation with students voting in many different dorms. Of course, students might say they could do that, but, you know, students say a lot of things. Let's see some real evidence before we change the way we vote in Wisconsin and not just rely on, you know, our fears and, you know, possibilities that could conceivably happen. You know, I mean, during the football season, I fear intoxicated Minnesota Viking fans invading Wisconsin. That doesn't mean I'm going to spend $5 million of state money to protect us from that. It just seems to me that this is a bad use of state taxpayer dollars, and it treats Wisconsin citizens with suspicion rather than welcomes their participation in our elections.
I want to thank you both for being with us. Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, and Republican State Representative Donald Pridemore of Erin, who is a sponsor of the Assembly legislation that will receive a public hearing this morning starting at 10 at the state capitol. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, you've heard from both sides in today's big question debate on whether or not Wisconsin needs a photo ID bill requiring voters to present a photo ID at the polls. Now it's your turn to sound off. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Gordon in Bailey's Harbor, what do you think?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I think it's awfully easy to focus on partisan issues or specifics of implementation, which overlooks a very fundamental principle, and my comment relates to a statement made earlier that one justification for the bill is because of very close elections. It seems to me that the fundamentals of democracy ought to be to encourage as many people to vote as possible. If we had 100% voter turnout, that would be different, but we don't. And so I think the bill is fundamentally flawed in that it has the potential to restrict the voter turnout rather than to make it as large a turnout as possible.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Nan in Oconto. Hello, Nan.
Good morning. I called my representative, Nygren, and his office told me that their reason for supporting this is because we have this, you can vouch for somebody when you register. You don't have to provide any ID if you have someone who's a registered voter or someone who has their ID who can say, this guy is my neighbor, he just moved in, and then you can vote. So I'm thinking maybe if we just changed that, we wouldn't have to change anything else. Just require some kind of ID on the spot for new voters. The other issue is, with all of the DMV cutbacks, I'm very concerned. I called them, and they said they do waive the $28 fee, but only if you can prove that you're low income.
Nan, we don't have time for that also. Well, we've heard from a couple of you. We'll put up a poll online so you can continue voting on this photo ID issue online, WPR.org, and on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thank you very much to Rob Ferret, Cynthia Schuster, and Chris Molina for producing the hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.